Now we read in the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profane her father, she shall be burnt with fire. Why? Because of the position of the man. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, neither shall he go into any dead body. Notice these. He'll not rend his clothes. That is, be violent. And yet, when the Lord Jesus, you remember, testified before the high priest, he rent his clothes. He broke the law in trying to try Jesus for breaking the law. Now, all of this is done why? Because he wears a crown on which it says holiness unto the Lord. We need to have holiness today in the lives of those who serve God. Now, that is the whole thought and intent through this entire section here. Now, you have disqualifications for priestly function that go all the way from 16th verse of this 21st chapter through the 24th verse. It has to do with those that have a blemish, or it could be a flat nose or something like that. Blindness, lameness, flat nose, superfluous growth, a broken bone. These are the things that would eliminate a man from serving. Why does it emphasize that? Because of perfection. Because of the fact that he is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in perfection. Now, you will notice that these were never shut out of the priesthood in the sense that they were forbidden to serve, but they were not shut out from the table of the Lord. We're told in verse 22, he shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. And there are a great many in Christian service today that are crippled mentally or morally even. I had a young man, I taught him when I was studying for the ministry in a Sunday school class. He was in junior high at the time, and I followed him all the way through his life. He was a marvelous athlete, but he was tongue-tied. He had that cleft palate. He came to me one day, and he said, Dr. McGee, I want to study for the ministry. Well, how do you talk to a young fellow like that? Well, I told him, I said, you are the finest physical specimen that I've ever seen, and the only handicap you have is your speech. And that's what you'd have to do as a preacher. I said, why don't you find something in Christian work that you could do without being a speaker? He asked me what, and I suggest at that time several things he could do. But one of the things that he could do would be a Christian education worker. Now, all the Christian education directors of the land will be after me now. But I said, you have such a marvelous physique. And he's an athlete, star athlete. And I said, believe me, they'll certainly follow you. And they'll overlook it, these kids that follow you. And that man had a marvelous fact of the matter is, what he really did when he got to college, he told me, he says, I saw immediately that I was not cut out even for a Christian education director. He became a football coach in a college, and his influence for Christ was probably greater than any two of us preachers, because they admired the physical part, you see. And then to have this fellow come along and lisp and tell him about Jesus Christ is just about the most wonderful thing that there ever was. So I trust all the Christian education directors will forgive me now for what I've said.